open our Bibles. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. Oh my. Do you know how much love John wrote about? No wonder that fellow was the disciple that Jesus loved. How could you not when Jesus loves you like that? Hallelujah. Now, how marvelous in 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. It says there, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Hear that again. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Not a question there. It's just the word. "No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another," listen to this, "if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit." Now I believe by God's grace, and I thank the Lord with all the time spent, and thank God for his grace of all the time spent. Here together, gathered, praise God, assembled in the name of Jesus, assembled to hear this glorious truth, assembling to hear and hear the message that transforms us from glory to glory into the very image of him. I believe I can say without a doubt we are here, praise God, desiring to be perfected in his love. Amen? Amen. Thanks be to God. Completed in his love is what that means. That perfection speaks of a completion. Praise God. The fullness of his love. Praise God. See, the word of God says, through Paul's gospel, it tells us that we would know the love of Christ. Amen. Not just know it in a sense that, you know, I know the Lord loves me. This is the most intimate knowing and knowledge. And we, again, rejoiced on Wednesday. It's good to blush again on a Sunday. And it's the truth. This knowledge speaks of the love between a husband and a wife in the most intimate intercourse in that relationship. And it should startle you. Say, well, why would he use that? Because he's trying to get it across. How he loves us and what love he wants us to know him in. That's the most intimate love that we could ever experience, understand, and know in this life. And it is. And that is his faithfulness to us, and it's even more. But I want you to get it. I want you to receive this. I want you to know when I'm speaking of a wife, I'm speaking of a wife. I'm speaking to you. Yes, praise God, she is a wonderful, wonderful gathering of all of these precious ones that took all grace. Praise God. That make up that precious rib portion. It didn't just stay a rib, did it? It came out of that body and it became its own body. A body out from that body. Amen. Just like that resurrection that Paul said, if by any means I get to that resurrection, that's the one I want. If by any means, the one out from. Go unto him out from among the camp. It's always been that way. He's always wanted that intimate fellowship. He loved them all. He wanted them all to take it, but he only knew that some would. And that was the ones that had that ear to hear what the Spirit was saying. And especially now, to have that ear to hear what the Spirit says to the church. And praise be to God that we would be occupying as the Philadelphia church. Amen. Hearing that, oh Lord. Praise be to God to hear all of those hidden mysteries, yea, the deep things of God by the Holy Ghost. Continuing to feed that into my life, praise God. And it's love. That's all what that is, because he is love. So if that's what he is love, he's going to speak love. And he's going to speak it in the fullness of his love. And for us to be filled with all the fullness of God, to be filled with all the fullness of love. And praise be to God, that's what this is. And it's not just some gooey thing, it's the power of God. That's what brought Jesus, praise God, to this earth. That's the whole plan, because God is love. That's why Jesus, praise the Lord, went to the cross, because he loved. There was so much joy in his love, nothing could stop him. He had to give himself up to die. Nobody could take his life. He said, I have the power to give it. I have the power to take it up. You have no power but of my Father. And then the Father said, and all power is given to him. Praise God. Now, so we thank the Lord. This is what we're after, this perfected love. Well, right here, thank you, Jesus, we have this encouragement of how this is finished and made manifest in our life. Amen? It's right there in verse 12. It says, if we love one another, if we love one another, and that's agape love. See, Peter had to be tried in that, didn't he? Peter had been around Jesus for all of those years. And there Jesus singles him out. Peter, you got to get over yourself, son. You got to quit thinking it's you and your strength. And how many times Peter had to get hit. Amen. God's faithful to bring the things that we humble ourselves before him. I can't humble myself unless he brought the things for me to humble myself. I can't do anything of myself. I can't. Understand that. I can't just go out there and humble myself before the Lord. I cannot do that. I know I need his grace. I know I need his mercy. Then, by the grace of God, then, hallelujah, oh, what a true humbleness comes into this man. A thanksgiving and a sweetness, a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving that goes up to him. I can do nothing of myself. I could bring no merit of favor of me. But praise be to God, he has given me all of his son. That I am all pleasing to him because of Jesus. Of Jesus. So I have that. That's who he has made me. Jesus made me the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The thing, the only thing that God loves, he made me that. He sees me in that. Why would I not want all my fellowship to be only that? Amen? Amen. 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 He never gets tired when we talk to him about his marvelous grace. He never gets exhausted me telling him about how beautiful is the blood of his son on the mercy seat. I could tell him that over and over, and that's what I want to tell him over and over. And all he does is it just ravishes him. He almost can't even get up. He hears this and he just is going, oh, oh, hallelujah. Oh. I'm groaning today. How about you, huh? Groaning. He's good. Now, let's go back and read 4:12 again. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Brothers and sisters, we know God dwells in every Christian. It's not a temporary thing. God dwells in every Christian. There's no contingency there. When you're born of God, you're born of God. God dwells in you. You died. It's no longer you that live. It's Christ that lives in you. And I'll tell you what, Christ living in you, God dwells in you. So that is done. Praise God. That's a given. That's finished by the blood of Jesus. God dwells in you. But you see here, there's a second part to this verse, isn't there? It's much like Romans 8:17. Yes, it is. Romans 8:17 says, as children of God, we're heirs of God the Father. See, when you're born of God, when that blood is upon your life, you're born of God and you are an heir of God the Father. That's it. Can never be taken away. Thanks be to God. That's a seed that remaineth. It's impossible to separate a child of God from the love of God. Possible. All right? But it didn't end there. There's two parts to that precious verse. It said, you're heirs of God as a child of God the Father, and joint heirs, that wonderful sunclaronimous heir. Never forget that word. As a husband and wife. As a husband and wife, joint heirs, together, not with God the Father, but with Jesus Christ. With Jesus Christ. Amen. If. There's an if on that. See, born into it, there's no if there. That's done. Finished. Given. Heirship. Now we go on. And joint heirs together with Jesus Christ, if so be we suffer together with him, that we also may be glorified together. Praise God. So you see that there. So here in our text, we have God dwells in us, part one. All right? And if we love one another, there's part two. And notice, if we love one another. If we suffer together with him. If we love one another. And what happens if we love one another? The love of God is perfected in us. You think the Father is going to have his son marry a saint that love is not perfected in? You know that's not going to happen. She is going to be to the measure and the stature and the fullness of him. Who doesn't he love? He just loves. Matter of fact, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He so loved, he died for the sin of all men. That's how much he loves. Now, says it like this in verse 7 and 8, just going up the page. Beloved, let us love one another. And I love that. See, when you hear the words like that, beloved, you know, I don't hang around a bunch of fellas. Hey, beloved, how you doing? In the supermarket, you know, hey, beloved, good to see you. That don't work that way, does it? This is an intimate call. This is husband and wife stuff. It is, because this is what this speak is. This is speaking truth and love. This is beloved. This is drawing in. This is that wonderful fellowship of a husband and wife here. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth, we're going to have two things here, is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. All right? So all children are of God, are born of God. They are. We know that. But all his children don't necessarily know him. And that's the truth. And that is the truth. Verse 7, it tells us, everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. You got your two parts there again. Verse 8, it says that he that loveth not. And notice in verse 8, it doesn't go on to say that it is not born of God, does it? Drop that part, didn't it? What did it say? It said, he that loves not doesn't know God. All right. When a child of God doesn't love, let me tell you something. You don't know your Father. You don't know him. No, you don't. Every man, I'll tell you what, needs to really recognize this. Even my natural father, I was thinking. I had to grow up and mature to really know my dad. And that's the truth. It wasn't until I grew up and I really understood, and I believe I got a son out here today, he can say the same thing. Until you grow up, you don't really understand your dad's desires. The biggest thing is you don't really understand how intensely your Father loves you. And thanks be to God, I grew up. And I'll tell you what, I came to know my dad. I'm talking about my natural dad. Amen, John? My sis, Deb? We know dad, don't we? Because we grew up. A lot of times growing up, you didn't understand his ways. Sit there trying to figure out sometimes. But I knew all those things because of one thing. Dad loved. And now that I've grown up in the Lord, I know God. And you know the proof that I know God? I love you. I love you. I don't know God because I can memorize a bunch of scriptures. I don't know God because I could, you know, recite a bunch of things. I know God because I know the love of God, my Father. And I know that love. And I know that love in intimacy. And I love you. I love you. Because of God. Now, I can give testimony to this now as a dad. There's nothing greater I desire for my children than that they love one another. Nothing greater. That they love one another. They got corrected when they were kids. I didn't want them fighting then. And I'll tell you, more so now, I do not want them fighting. I don't want them quarreling, but I don't want just that. I want them to love one another. And when they love one another, you know what they prove? They prove that they know me. That's when everything's just good. It doesn't matter what they're doing. You understand that? Now this love, let me tell you something. This love isn't just what man thinks of love and what we think of love. Love sacrifices. Love prefers the other before self. Love by the grace of God has you even change things that you're doing that you know might be hurting other people. I was expressing to somebody, every time we have great trouble in our lives, you can always bring it back to one thing, selfishness. Selfishness. It's because this flesh, you preferred it above what God called you to. And it's the truth. The absolute truth. All these things going on, all of these conflicts, all of it's because of self. You don't understand that, you're probably selfish. And I'll pray for you. Because if you don't know by now, God help you. And I say that with truth. Now I'm going to say this too. I learned that from my dad. Us siblings were all different. Very different. Very, very different. We didn't come out of just a molded this and that. We're all different. But I'll tell you what, I thank God. I know we love one another. Man, I know my family loves me. And I know at any time, for anything, they would come to me and I could go to them. Even my sweet sis. She used to change me when I was a kid. Sorry. But one last thing, Daddy told her. Take care of your brother. Now, How much more so the family of God? And see, this isn't just about doing for. You go join a whole slew of religions that'll do for you. But this is about loving. This is about loving. And loving perfectly. Loving perfectly in this truth. And I'm going to tell you something about loving perfectly. Perfect love is especially manifest in unlovely times. In unlovely times. The greatest example of that was the cross. No other time was love made so manifest in the most ugly of times. To think that they were taking the Lamb of God and nailing Him to a cross. In that respect, it couldn't get any uglier. But in the respect and the aspect of love being made and shown perfect, there was no greater time. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, brothers and sisters, He loved us in the ugly. And He still loves us in the ugly. And I'm going to tell you why. Just because He loves. The love of God can't help itself. It just loves. Love loves. And it doesn't matter what the situation is. It loves. It doesn't stop loving. It's not waiting for a reason not to love. Love does not sit there and judge one another. Love doesn't sit there and, well, let's see if this list was fulfilled. Love loves. And I thank God that, yeah, it's easy to love lovely things. But I'll tell you what, if you're after perfect love is manifest the most when it's unlovely. And I'll tell you what, that might be just the time that you're in right now. And maybe the next time before you know it, He wants that love perfected. I pray you're listening. Because I believe this will be, oh, I remember that. Let's wrap this up. Holy Ghost really got to just strumming across my heart in this. Connecting all the dots of love. And then there's an infinite more dots, you know that. But He said, I know His love, so I know it. Because I believe Him for me to know it. It's not because I'm anything, but I just believe the Word of God. I believe it simple like that, don't you? Salvation wasn't that hard, sister. Matter of fact, it wasn't hard at all. I believe. Huh? Thief on the cross kind of showed you that. Remember me. I'll see you here in a moment. That's the God I love. That's the God I want. That's the God whose love I want reigning in me. Amen. Reigning in me. Now, listen, and let's let Him make clear what He's saying here. Let's go back and read 7 through 9. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loves not, knoweth not God. For God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Brothers and sisters, He was sent here so we would love one another. Jesus Christ died upon that cross. Praise God. It was so important to the Father and to Him, so that we would love one another. Praise God. That's how much He loved. I go back to Ephesians. Was that 1:4? And I was just rejoicing. Get over there. Let's go back. Let's get over there. Ephesians 1:4. Oh my. The Spirit, Lord, let Him share it with us. And you how we've been rejoicing in this. And rejoicing the more. He hath chosen us in Him. Before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame. That's how He chose us. That's how He chose us. Praise God. That's how He made us in His blood. He's seeing us in Christ before He ever set a star in heaven. Before Him in love. Before the foundation of the world. That's where He chose us and saw us. Before Him in love. And we've been so rejoicing, haven't we? Wonderfully rejoicing. That He's been in love with us since ages past. He didn't just make us holy and unblameable and chose us in that. And we know that that would be of His blood. And if there was a period after that, it would have been just beyond our imagination. But He had to say one last thing. Oh, no. All of that was because I saw you and I'm in love. But what was so beautiful is as the Lord was bringing back this, because that's the thing about the Word of God. It just has so many beautiful layers as we take it from Him. Brothers and sisters, He saw us before the foundation of the world. He saw us in love. He saw this message that He gave, that we're listening to by His Spirit. Before the foundation of the world, that it's clicking. We're in love. We're in wedlock divine. Man, I can't even describe it. But we know it. We have this. Because of truth and love. See, when you speak that, and your heart is what speaks that. Your heart is what speaks that. That was the man after the very heart of God, David. And David took and was full and overflowing his cup. And he just said, Lord, what can I do? Just take more, baby. Take it more, son, and drink of that cup of salvation. And drink and drink and drink. But you know what? He set even a bigger cup in your hand. Yes, we got it all, don't we? We got filled with all the fullness of God cup. And here it is. Perfected love. And thanks be to God. I believe. We're on the edge of our seat. You know what? I want to love more. I want to love more. I'm wanting what He wants. I'm in love in Christ with you. Are you in love in Christ with me? I'll tell you what, we haven't been listening if we're not. I'm serious. I'm in love in Christ with you. This is a forever thing. And I pray that you're seeing me. It doth not yet appear. Don't look at Jesse. Don't ever look at me. Don't. And I mean that sincerely. But I'll tell you what. It yet doth not appear what it shall be. Are you in love with what it shall be in me? Now you get it. Oh, not what we're going to love in one another, but what I love in you, what I'm in love with in you. That's what John's speaking of here. That's what the Holy Ghost and Lord Jesus, in your precious name, you draw us in. Draw us in. There's more to love. There's more to love. And it's not isolating yourself at your home. Oh no. It's here. It's all here. Bone of His bone. And flesh of His flesh. Made one with Him. Even so, come. Let's pray. Father, we do. We come to you in such thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for your Son's life in us. Thank you, God, that this purpose that you purposed in ages past, because of the faithfulness of your Son, is coming forth. Lord, thank you that we are now your sons. Father, thank you that we are coming into a place of that we are in tune with the desire of the Father. Lord, thank you that you have loved us like this. That the nurturing of your love, it never ends. The excitement and the joy of the desire of your heart, it's become our own. And Lord, thank you for the power of your might that causes us to press on. And Lord, we're going to need more. We're going to need more. You said, Lord, oh yes, you'll have trouble in this world. But oh, thank you, Father, we're of good cheer. Because the champion of our salvation, our precious Jesus, has overcome the world. And we give you thanks. Yes, as the people of God, but by your grace, as a little portion of your rib portion company, your bride and wife in waiting. We believe you. We believe in your grace to finish the good work which you've begun in us unto that day. In Jesus' name, amen.